Paul Hawken is an activist and the author of Blessed Unrest, How the Largest Social Movement in History is Restoring Grace, Justice, and Beauty to the World, which was released in paperback in March. Today, WMNF spoke with Hawken and began by asking him why he wrote the book.
The book is about what I am calling the largest social movement in the history of humanity, comprised of environmental and social justice organizations that exist in virtually every country, county, culture, city in the world. And it is a movement that has come about because of the failure of governing and business institutions around the world to protect our resources, our lives, our security. Organizations have arisen because of the default mechanism, in a sense. People see that their water is polluted or that their forests are being taken away or their livelihoods are being threatened or their cultures are being deracinated, and they start to organize themselves into small groups to counter what they see as a threat to not only their lives but the future of their children and their children's children. And that's primarily how these organizations have arisen.
We're speaking with Paul Hawken, the author of the New York Times best-selling book called Blessed Unrest. And Paul, you call it a movement, yet it's not really connected. What makes it a movement?
That's a very good question. Most movements we associate with a charismatic leader, with ideologies, with central location, with sound bites, somebody who can speak on behalf of all of it. And there have been many marvelous movements like that. There have been very many terrible ones as well. And I call it a movement because it's really, although it's ground up and it's very diverse and ubiquitous in the world, it shares a common set of primary values, which are really timeless. And they're about respect, about doing unto others what we expect them to do to ourselves. And this movement is not something that arose because of one person or one book or like I said, an ideological bend. It arose step by step, one by one, because people try to enshrine and try to protect those things that they hold sacred to them. And that includes the places they live, the ways in which they live in those places, their families, their children, the ways they worship, the ways in which they have carried on their culture and our civilization from many thousands of years. And all those are being threatened by rapid economic development, by rapid environmental deterioration, and by the widespread political corruption that exists in the world today.
And you mentioned that this movement has three basic roots: environmental, social justice, and indigenous cultures. Can you describe those three and how they overlap?
Well, the environmental movement largely arose in the 19th century and has been growing ever since, and given great impetus by Rachel Carson in this country, but certainly by other leaders we don't know and others. The social justice movement really goes back. I think we can trace it to the beginning of the abolitionist movement in 1787 in London, when 12 people got together to organize the ban on the trade and slavery. And the indigenous movement really goes back for eons and millennia. But these are people for whom the environment and social justice issues were never disaggregated. They're the same thing. And what you're seeing is that that kind of wisdom kind of lies at the heart of what we're trying to restore in the world, that sense of integration of people, of culture, of place, of practice, of agriculture. And I'm not trying to say it's a movement that wants to go back. It's not. It's highly innovative. It's technical. It's full of ideas. It wants to transform the world in a way that all of us can live here and not harm each other, and not harm the places we live in, which harms each other.
We're speaking with Paul Hawken, the author of Blessed Unrest, How the Largest Social Movement in History is Restoring Grace, Justice, and Beauty to the World. And Paul, we've heard the claim that more trade and global economic growth, they solve the problems of poverty and inequality. Is that the experience that you've had with the indigenous activists that you've spoken with?
Well, the data don't support that claim. In the rapid growth of global trade, particularly in the last 30, 40 years, what we've seen is a rapid polarization of income in the world. In other words, we've seen more money concentrated in fewer hands, and poverty has actually increased. It hasn't decreased. There has been benefits from it. It's not black or white. I don't mean to be to say there isn't benefits from trade. But we have to distinguish between trade, which is you make something, you sell to somebody in another country, and the corporatization of the world, that is large economic entities taking over resources, mining companies in Papua New Guinea, taking over huge swaths of land and then polluting the river downstream with mercury because to extract the gold, and then the destruction of these native cultures by the influx of currency and miners, and then there's prostitution and so forth. So the protest or the resistance to globalization isn't to globalization itself. It's actually to corporatization, the violence that is often unintended, but nevertheless it visits communities and countries where large economic entities enter and are basically operating there in their own self-interest and not in the long-term interest of the people who were there originally.